when we were scheduled to come back, and I've been seeking the Lord's will. If you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 11 this morning, is where the Lord has led us to go. I want you to just pray for a few moments of time that we could say something from the Word of God that will help you. I will not be doing the preaching. It'll be the Lord that'll do the preaching this morning. If you get anything out of this Word this morning, it'll be because of Him, not because of me. John chapter 11, we'll be reading through verse 1 through 7. If you would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary which anointed the Lord with the ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Let us pray. Father, I thank you today, Lord, for the reading of your word. I pray as we stand in this sacred place, Lord, to brag on your lovely name. God, I need fresh bread from heaven today. Lord, we need to hear from you. Speak through these stammering lips, Lord, to your people today, that they may hear the good news, Lord, and glorify your name. And go with us now. We'll give it all to you right now in Jesus' precious holy name. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated this morning. I got to thinking about this chapter, and when God was giving it to me, what point that the Lord would want me to bring to you. And the Lord gave me a title a long time ago about a message and gave me a whole new message with the title. And it's simply entitled this morning, He's an On-Time God. I'm glad that we serve an on-time God this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm glad that He's on time in my life. But we see here in this chapter that a personal friend of Jesus, they've sent word to him that he's dying. And you know, he don't go right away. He waits and he tarries before he goes. And you and I'll get word sometime of people dying, and we'll hurry up and pack up and we'll go and try to see them before they leave this walks of life. We don't know what's about to happen, but you know, when they send for us, we go and we try to help and we try to be a witness. But here we see Jesus, they've sent word unto him that Lazarus, his friend, is dying. And he hesitates, and no doubt his disciples think, this is somebody that Jesus really is close to. I wonder why he's hesitating. But he said it's for the glory of God, and we're going to wait just a little while. And I'm glad for some men that trusted Jesus and took him at his word. And I'm glad that's what we're going to have to do today. If we're going to hear from God, we're going to have to take him at his word. Amen. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, then Jesus came and he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem about 15 furlongs, which is a little over a mile. And many of the Jews came to Mary and Martha and comforted them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Listen, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother, listen, shall rise again. I'm glad that you can take Jesus at his word this morning. Whatever he tells you, you can take him at his word. And he goes on to say here, Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I'm glad he speaks to me plainly at times. He said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I'm glad we got to believe that this morning, that if we'll believe in Jesus and we'll confess him as our Lord and Savior and receive him into our lives, we'll never die again. I'm not talking about the outward man. I'm talking about the inward man. We'll never die again. I'm glad that February the 1st, 1981, I walked an old-fashioned aisle way down to an old-fashioned altar, kneeled my knees before the Lord, and give my heart to him. And I've never been the same since he saved me that precious day. And I'm glad I've never had to worry about dying again. Now the body's getting old and it's deteriorating and it's going away. It's going back to the dust and where it come from. But I'm glad this soul's going to live on forever with its maker, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I appreciate this message and what the Lord is trying to show us here. He's trying to show us by faith that we need to trust him. Why? Because he's an on-time God. You may have situations going on in your life and you've been praying and you're asking God to move in your life and God hasn't moved right now. But if you'll be faithful and trust him, God will move when you least expect it. I found out when God is not moving in my life, I'm in the way of God. I'm trying to do things for God. I'm asking God to do stuff, but I'm in his way. I'm going and I'm trying to make everything work. And when I make a big mess of it and I say, Lord, I can't do this no more, then he'll say, I'll take care of it now. You'll get out of the way, I'll take care of it now. But we spend our lives getting in the way of God when we need to move out of the way because he's an on-time God. He wants to work in our lives in a mighty way. Something I wanted to tell you this morning, when there seems to be no hope in your life, he's an on-time God. When you need comfort in your life, he's an on-time God. When your heart is full of fear, he can be an on-time God. And when you need joy in your life, he's an on-time God. Even when death comes, he's an on-time God when death shows up. I'm glad when death's cold hand reaches out for you and I to get us one day after a while. That last battle that we'll fight, which is death, I'm glad that God will be there right on time to say, oh no, death, take your hands off. They're going with me. Amen? But if you're here today lost without God, that's not so for you. It'll be a terrible time when death comes in the room and you are lost without God. I believe that the Lord will be there, but he'll stand back while death puts its cold hands upon you and your destiny will be sealed for all eternity. I'm telling you this morning, he's an on-time God if we'll trust him with our whole heart. I was thinking about when people call on us and we need to go when God is leading us. When we're saved and we're called of God, we need to be ready to go when we get a phone call. And I'm going to give you this. I got a phone call one time. And I was a young minister, and I was praying and asking God and petitioning with God. And I said, God, I'll go preach, and I'll do this. But don't send me here, or don't send me there. Don't let me deal with this, and don't let me. I'll do this, but don't let me deal with that. And everything I told God I didn't want to deal with, that's exactly what I dealt with. That's the way he is. And I remember getting the phone call from a good friend of mine that was lost without God. His father was dying. And he said, we want you to come. My daddy's dying and he needs the Lord. And we would love for you to come and speak with him. And this was in Lexington, Kentucky. And I lived here in Kingsport. And I thought, that's a long ways to go. But I said, you know what? I've got the call. I've got to go. So I went. And as I drove to Lexington, Kentucky, I recited in my mind the plan of salvation and how to lead somebody to the Lord. And I was praying, driving down the road and asking God to help me. And I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I want to be led of you if you'll show me. And I was all ready. I thought I had it all together. And I had all the scriptures in my mind. And I thought, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to be able to lead this man to God. And it's going to be wonderful. But when I got there and I got out of the car and I walked into the hospital, I pushed the button. When I found out what room he was in, I got in the elevator, went up. As soon as the elevator doors opened, I could hear somebody screaming to the top of their lungs. And I said, oh, God, as I backed up in that elevator, I said, please don't let that be that man. So I walked on out of the elevator, and I stepped into the hallway. And as I walked down the hallways, the screams got louder and got louder and louder and louder. And I thought, God, surely that's not the man I'm going to see. And as I got close to the room, the screams was almost ear-piercing. And when I got a hold of the door and opened up the door, I realized it was the man that I was going to see that was screaming. And as soon as I opened up the door, there lay the man in the bed and his family around him, and he had pulled the bed bar almost into his chest. And he was screaming, I'm on fire! Put me out! Put me out! And they was rubbing his legs and his arms and trying to help him. And they were crying. They rushed me to the bed like I could do something. I said, there's nothing I can do. They said, pray! Pray that my daddy will get out of this place that he's in. I began to pray and I began to seek God, and I said, God, I need you right now. Help me with this man. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed till I thought I'd fall on the floor. And the family was crying. They were sitting over here and sitting over there. And nobody, everybody was exhausted. And he was just yelling to the top of his lungs. And as I continually agonizing in prayer for him, all of a sudden he says, screaming started slowing down and slowing down and slowing down. And it finally stopped. And the room was as quiet as this one. I sat down beside the bed. I was exhausted. The family was exhausted. You could hear the tears of weeping. I said, God, I need you in this moment. I'm just sitting there and praying. All of a sudden, the man rolls his head over and looks at me. He says, Jared, what are you doing? And right then, I jumped to my feet right beside the bed. And his name was Orville. And I said, Orville, I have been here for 2 hours praying and asking God to bring you out of the state of mind that you're in. Do you know what you've been going through? He said, I don't know what I've been going through. I said, you've been screaming for 2 hours that you've been on fire. You need the Lord in your life, and I serve an on-time God that can save you right now if you'll give your life to Him. And his son was standing beside the bed, a good friend of mine. He's lost without God. His daddy's lost without God. And I'm trying to encourage him. I'm giving them every scripture that I can give them. And I've prayed up, and I'm ready. And I'm ready for them to get right. And the father reaches up and grabs the hold of the son's hand. And he looks at him and calls him Junior. He said, me and you both need this. He said, yes, Daddy, I know. And I'm about to win the victory. I'm thinking I'm fixing to pray him through. And he looks right at me and he says, and I can't do it. I said, Orville, you have been screaming for 2 hours that you're on fire. You have been experiencing the flames of hell. Would you please get right with God? And I begged him in tears with everything that was within me. And he said, I can't today. He said, if the Lord will bring me out of this hospital, I promise I'll get right. And I told him, you don't have the promise of tomorrow. You may never have the promise. You may never get another chance like this chance. I serve a God that will save you right now in this state of mind that you're in. In this hospital bed, God will change your life forever. And he's sitting there with tears running down his face, and he said, I just can't today. That's the kind of grip that Satan has got on people's lives when they live in sin and do the things of the world. And he had been a wealthy man, a very successful businessman, and he'd had all the possessions, and he'd had all the things of life, and he'd enjoyed life to the fullest. But he'd come to the place where it didn't matter no more. I'm telling you, we serve an on-time God. And I'm glad the prayers of a righteous man availeth much is what the Bible says. So I kept talking to him and kept talking to him, and he kept saying no and he kept saying no. And finally I told him, I said, there's nothing I can do for you other than tell you that Jesus loves you. And he sat there and he cried, and I watched the tears roll out the sides of his face. And I sat down beside of his bed and I began to pray and ask God, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And it was just like a split second, just like that. He starts screaming to the top of his lungs again. He goes right back out of his mind. And for 2 solid days, the man screamed night and day. They walked nurses and doctors out of the rooms. They came out of the rooms weeping when they saw what was going on. I'm telling you, that hell is a real place where real people are going. But I'm glad for the forgiveness of God and the love of God that He's on time. And you say, what happened to the man? The man lived about another 5 years. But he sat in a room and stared at a corner and never knew nobody. Never knew nothing. God brought him out of the hospital. But he sat in a room and stared at a corner and didn't know nothing. And I still prayed and I still begged God. And I, on his behalf, I prayed and checked and prayed and prayed. And I thought, God is not going to answer my prayer. And then I get a phone call one day. A good friend of Ravonda's that's part of the family called and said, we took Orville to church today. He asked to go to church. I said, really? And he got saved. And it wasn't just a few months later that he died. That close, God had mercy upon him, and that close. But through the prayers of God's people praying and seeking the Lord, God had mercy and extended his life. You never know what's going to happen. And here they're crying and they're pleading for Jesus to come because they don't understand. Mary and Martha, they love their brother. You all love your brothers and sisters. And you cry and you pray when people get sick in your life. And we seek God, but sometimes the will of God is different than what we want. I remember when my daddy was dying, my prayer life, I couldn't have prayed anymore for a man to live. But it wasn't God's will for him to live. And here we see that Jesus tarries and Lazarus does die. And Martha and Mary's heart are broken. And many of the friends and family gathered around, their hearts are broken. But I'm glad the heart mender is on the way. He's on the way, amen, even in this situation of today. He's on the way for you and I. And we can see here through this message that God is on the way. He is our hope. Over in John 3:16, He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He is our great comfort. Over in John 14, verse 3, He said, I go away to prepare a place. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He wants us to comfort one another with these words. Over in Isaiah 41, the Bible tells us about fear. He said, we're not to fear because He is the one that's overcome the fear of life. You may be afraid this morning. What's going to happen in your home and your financial situation? What's going to happen in your job? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that we serve an all-time God, amen, that's going to make a way where there is no way. And He's not only taking care of all these things in our life, but He is our joy. One of the writers said it's like joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. There's times I don't know what I'm going to do with myself when God shows up. I don't know about you all, but when the Lord shows up, I get happy. And I get loud and I get emotional. I can't help it. It's just the way that I am. Some people say, He's awful loud. He's awful emotional. I got something to get emotional about, amen. He saved me from a devil's hell. I want to lift up my hands and bless His name for all that He's done. He's been good to me. Has He been good to you this morning? He's been so good to me. He's been on time every time. But His time is not my time. And finally, there in Psalms 23, verse 4, David said it the best. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I promise you, when that time comes, there'll be evil there.
Because they think they're about to win. They ain't about to win. We're about to win the victory. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We got it right backwards. When somebody dies in the Lord, we're weeping, crying, slinging snot and going on. It's awful mess you ever see. And when they're born, we're happy. We got it right backwards. We're supposed to weep when they're born and rejoice when they die. Because they're passing from the veil of this troublesome time into a better land and never have to suffer again. I don't know about your loved ones, but I've got a lot of loved ones over on the other side. I've got more to go to heaven for today than I did yesterday. And heaven's sweeter now than it was yesterday. And it'll be sweeter tomorrow if I get to live than it is today. He's an on-time God that wants to take care of your situation. And you may say, Brother Gary, I've prayed and I've sought the Lord and I just don't understand why God is tarrying. We tarried here 4 days before he came and raised Lazarus from the dead. And when he came into town, they thought, there's Jesus. He don't realize he's already too late. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. No doubt he's stinking than that. But they didn't realize that the resurrection had just walked into town. He just walked in, amen. He's fixing to change everything. Your life may be upside down, but he's fixing to change everything in your life if you'll trust him today. I can't tell you the places I go right now and preach to people and tell them about the good news. What's about to happen, it seems to fall on deaf ears. People have lost their joy. They've lost their convictions. They're not concerned about Jesus coming. They're not concerned about their loved ones dying and going to a devil's hell. It's like that. It doesn't even matter anymore. But I'm telling you, we need to get concerned. We need to pray for a burden. And we need to pray that God be on time, all the time. And God would move in these people's lives and they would get right before it's too late. I don't want to see people die and go to hell. You may say this morning, that's some hard stuff I've heard this morning. No, it's reality. It's reality. It was reality to Mary and Martha. They really felt the grief. They really knew what it was like to lose a brother. And they felt the doubt and the fear and where is Jesus in all this? He says he's the resurrection and the life. He's been healing people. He's been doing all these things. Where is he? We need him right now. Where's he at? But if you'll trust him, he'll be just on time. No matter what's going on in your life, our sister back here trusted God when she was sick with cancer. She's still here. God knows what he's doing. Many of you will give testimonies of what God's done in your life. You could have done been gone, but God still got you here. You know why? He ain't done with you yet. We all have a calling in life. Y'all realize that? I accepted the call many, many, many years ago to preach the gospel. But I had a call before that. That's the call to be a disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of you are called to be disciples. What's that mean, Brother Gary? We're to go out and we're to tell them and encourage them that Jesus is coming again. And explain to them how good he is in our lives. And by that, God will use us for his honor and for his glory. So I would ask you in my conclusion this morning, what is your need? Do you believe he's an on-time God? Are you trusting him today to meet your every need? Are you trying to do it yourself? I promise you, he will take care of it. But you're going to have to do one thing. You're going to have to follow him by his word. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and 7, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. He didn't just write that in there just to be written. He wrote it to tell you he cares for you this morning. He's concerned about what's going on in your life. And he wants to be an on-time God in your life and show you that he's real. Do you believe God can move this morning? I do. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed in this place, I'd like to ask my wife and daughter to come sing a song.
of invitation, just a verse. And you may say this morning, Brother Gary, I've been praying, I've been seeking God, and I just haven't got an answer. I don't know really what I'm going to do. I've been frustrated. It seems like God's not hearing my prayers. But I promise you, He heard you the first time you prayed. He knows your heart this morning. And He'll be on time every time. But He's asking you this morning to come and to surrender. Whatever it is you're holding on to, He wants you to surrender this morning. As we stand all over the house with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's all stand. This altar is open this morning if you want to come and pray and ask God to meet whatever needs you have. Would you come and surrender this morning? He wants to help you today. He wants to be on time for you today because He loves you. He loves you this morning. Whether it be sickness, whether it be a wayward child, or maybe you're away from the Lord, and you just need to come and pray this morning, would you come right now? As we tarry for just another moment, I'd like to give you that opportunity to come. Heavenly Father, as we come to You right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank You for the liberty, Lord, to stand in this pulpit today and to preach Your word. God, we want to honor You in all that we say and do. And I pray, Lord, that this message today, as we have looked at it, Lord, and give our hearts, Lord, I pray that You will take it and that You'll speak to the hearts of the people that are here. Help them to realize, Lord, that You are an on-time God. You're never late. Your answers are always good. They may not be the answers we're looking for, but You know what's best for us, Lord. And I pray that You'll meet the needs of the people. You know what they stand in need of. And God, I just want to tell You that I love You today. Thank You for coming by one more time and visiting with us here. Father, take this now, use it for Thy honor and for Thy glory. For we ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.